Blog Talk Radio.
Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by The Fitness Buff Show, the leanest, fastest hour on radio. Check it out online at fitnessbuffshow.com and start getting fitter and faster today. Judge David Young is unlike any other TV judge you've likely seen before. In a video marketplace with courts of every color and gender, and with their focuses ranging from petty crimes and divorce to Texas justice, the Judge David Young Show has a gimmick that's no gimmick. Yep, he's gay. Judge Young, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Appreciate your time. Judge, there's out, and then there's in your living room five nights a week out. How did you join the ranks of dispensers of video justice?
Well, it's very interesting. I was in my chambers in Miami-Dade County, my judicial chambers, and I've got an email from Sony Television asking me if I would like to talk to them about starring in a television show. And at first I thought it was one of those emails that you get from Nigeria. I didn't think it was real. And after I spoke to them, it was indeed real. And it's been an amazing story, absolutely amazing. I'm just absolutely thrilled that I was able to do this.
Now, it didn't come entirely out of the blue. They had seen you, I guess, either in the news or in the flesh.
Well, for me, it came out of the blue. They were, unbeknownst to me, Sony was looking for another judge to add to their Supreme Court, and they looked around. They went to Court TV, one of their sources, because they figured they knew all the good judges because they covered these trials, and I happened to have been the judge on the America West pilots who were two guys that were flying an airplane impaired 6 months after 9/11. And they said, there's this judge in Miami named David Young. Check him out. And they obviously checked me out. And they sent me the email. Then I called them. And then they flew me to New York. And they flew me to California. Then back to New York. And we did a casting. And 18 months later, you have the Judge David Young Show.
Wow. Now, I remember that case. That was, and people were quite alarmed by that case, that these pilots were flying, as you put it, impaired. That seems like a kind way to put it. Was there anything in that case while you were handling it that stood out for you that made you think, you know, that it was different or that it got people's attention any differently than any other case?
Well, I knew from the get-go that the national media was going to cover the case because they made some inquiries to our public information director at the courts. And I was going to make sure that I handled the case in a certain manner that would make people proud of the justice system. Far too often on these big high-profile trials, you have judges or lawyers or the whole scene cause a bad taste in people's mouth about the justice system. And I was going to be, gosh darn, if that was going to happen in my courtroom.
Mm. Now, I'm in Florida. I've lived here for a long time. You came out of Florida. We both know that it gets more than its share of unusual court cases. Did that help you?
Well, you know, it's funny. They have been asked several times, how come you have three judges from South Florida on national television? And I said, because we're so culturally diverse in this community, and everything happens in South Florida, from Anna Nicole Smith 9 to drunk pilots to Ilion, we have this other case going on. It's just exciting. You have people here with passion. And if you are going to survive in this community, you have to have a certain oomph, I guess, is the best way to put it. And I guess it breeds us. I don't know. It's very exciting. Listen, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else in South Florida because it is very exciting and it's very stimulating and the people are just wonderful.
I seem to recall that during the Anna Nicole Smith case, and you probably know this better than I, that the judge who was handling a lot of that, who got a lot of TV time, even during the course of the case, there was talk about him becoming a TV judge.
Yeah, well, you know, There was talk about it, but I don't think anything's going to come of that.
Okay, I wondered about that. Now,
he, you know, he's still under criminal investigation.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Yes, he
no.
was. The state attorney's office is reported in the Miami Herald is investigating for accepting bribes, according to the allegations.
Ouch.
He asked a lawyer. He told the lawyer. He said, "You know, my wife's birthday is tomorrow, and I appoint you to a lot of cases. And there's this great Louis Vuitton purse named Marcus that she'd love to have, and make sure it's wrapped pretty."
I missed that story. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Well,
yeah. For Larry Seidman's sake, I hope it's not true. And but the state attorney's office is investigating. We'll see what happens.
Wow. Well, let's stay focused on Florida for a minute. You mentioned the state attorney's office. You came out of that office, didn't you?
I did. I worked under Janet Reno for almost 4 wonderful years.
What, I have to ask, what was that like?
She is an amazing person. I was just with Janet last Friday night, actually, and I said to her, I said, you know, every interview that I give, they're so inquisitive about you, and you're still so well regarded by so many different people. You know, what you see with Janet is what she is. She's incredibly honest. She's incredibly committed to seeking justice, and she's also very loyal to her employees. One of really a true indicative of Janet's character story that I tell is one of our young prosecutors who didn't have any family here in Miami got struck by something. I think she had appendicitis. Yeah, it was appendicitis. And she was rushed to the hospital, and she told somebody to contact Janet Reno. Well, within 10 minutes, Janet was at the hospital.
Wow.
Taking care of things. I mean, that's just the way that Janet was. As a boss, she knew everybody's name. She knew everybody's life story, and she was very actively involved, and she was very protective of her people. And, you know, you couldn't ask for a better boss.
Is there anything that you carry forth from your experience with her judicially in terms of the way you handle people or cases?
Sure. One of Janet's mantras is the terms strength and courage, which translated means always do the right thing and don't be afraid of the consequences if you believe what you're doing is right. Have the strength of your convictions. And her low-key style, her deliberate style, her ability to listen to people and really are concerned about people's welfare. Is just, you know, she's one of my role models.
Mm. Now, Janet Reno is not the only major figure in Florida law establishment in your background. Your own dad, Burt Young, was past president of the Florida Bar Association.
He was the first Jewish president of the Florida Bar back in the 70s. And, you know, the amount of anti-Semitism that he and Mom both had to overcome within the member of the Florida Bar establishment was astounding. They, you know, you'd think that lawyers would rise above homophobia, anti-Semitism, racism, but, you know, they're like everybody else. And Dad had a really hard time in the beginning of 1970 when he took over the presidency, but slowly but surely through hard work and dedication, and people saw that, hey, Jews don't have horns. Hey, you know, Burton has done all these great things to enhance the legal profession in the state of Florida. I guess we need to treat them like everybody else. Gee, what a novel lesson that is.
And I wondered, I mean, well, what you say, your dad dealt with anti-Semitism. How concerned was he for you following in his footsteps in the law and then having to deal with, you know, anti-gay and that kind of thing? That must have been tough.
Well, my father and I, personalities are very different. And he is very loyal. He's a very loving father. I'm very, very lucky, and I have a very loving mother. And when I came out, you know, there was never any issues. They loved me unconditionally. And, as you wish most parents would love their children unconditionally, but unfortunately, we don't see that a lot. We see a lot of misconceptions about gay and lesbians, and their parents think something, and they end up throwing them out of the house, and then they end up homeless on the streets, and then a lot of them end up committing suicide. You know, one of the reasons I am out, and one of the reasons I am vocal about it, is I'd like to see myself as a role model for other young gay and lesbian bisexual individuals who are just coming to terms with their sexual orientation, to say, hey, listen, if you want to be a judge, you can be a judge. If you want to be president of the United States, well, maybe not that far, but you can at least, you know, you can achieve your goals. And you know, your sexual orientation should not prohibit you from achieving your goals, because that's not what America is all about. Hey, look, you know, in Miami we have people who came over here with Pedro Pan many 30 years ago with nothing. They didn't speak the language. All they had is a group of members of the Catholic Church who took them in and nourished them and acted as surrogate parents until their parents came over. And now they are the ones who are running Miami-Dade County. They're the bankers, they're the lawyers, they're the mayors, they're, you know, there's the United States Senator, who's a Pedro Pan. So anything is possible. One's sexual orientation should not prohibit that an individual from striving to be the best that they can be.
Mm. Now, you made reference to when you came out to your parents. A lot of times parents have one of two reactions. One, of course, we know this one, they're shocked and they're in denial. And then there's the other reaction where they're like, I knew. You know, tell me something I didn't know. Which did you get from your parents?
Mom didn't comment either way that she knew or she was shocked. She loves me, and that's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
Dad was shocked.
Really?
He didn't see it coming at all.
How old were you when you came out to them?
I was on the older side. I was to them I was 33, 34.
Wow, and Dad didn't see any sign at that point, huh?
None. You know, as I say in my courtroom, denial is not a river in Egypt, and it does not flow through this courtroom. Well, denial is a river in Egypt, and it was flowing through my parents' house.
That is something I've heard you say a few times. And how does your dad feel about your career path now, the television?
You know, ever since I was 3 years old, I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. Ever since I was a teenager, I knew I wanted to practice criminal law because I was influenced by Richard Gerstein, the former Dade County State Attorney, Richard E. Gerstein. And I just loved criminal law. So there was, and Dad is a family lawyer. And I just, you know, I can be a little bit of a yenta, I understand that. But I just wasn't into all the bickering and fighting and things that family lawyers do. I just really love the criminal end of it. Defending one's constitutional rights, to me, is fascinating. And that's doesn't necessarily mean the defendant's constitutional rights, but the constitutional rights of victims as well. So it was just a natural progression that I merged into criminal law. And Dad thought, I guess really in his mind, that I would be his law partner one day and then be president of the bar like he was. Well, that didn't exactly happen because we had a judicial scandal here in 1990s, where we had judges who were taking bribes from lawyers to get cases fixed or to release the name of a confidential informant, or they were bribing lawyers to get, they were putting pressure on lawyers to get part of their fees for appointment of cases. So it really rocked the judiciary to its core down here. And a bunch of us young Turks ran in 1992 to reform the system. And there was a whole massive turnover in the judiciary. And there were a lot of young people who got elected. And I was only 33 when I got elected to a judgeship here in Miami. And we made a difference, and we are the activists. We are the ones that are making differences in people's lives. We are the ones that were involved in therapeutic jurisprudence, the programs, the drug programs, the alcohol programs, dealing with domestic violence, all the, you know, all the progression in the law throughout the country. A lot of it started here in Miami with the Young Turks, as we called ourselves. So, you know, my life has always been about public service, and Dad was just thrilled when I became a judge. She loved having a son the judge. She loved having to stand up in a room when I walked in.
But what about on TV?
What?
How does he feel about you doing it on TV?
Right, now I'm doing it on TV. He, you know, he never thought, I mean, no, I never thought. I never even fantasized about being one of those TV judges. I may fantasize about being on a Broadway show, but never being on TV. I mean, or, you know, may fantasize about having the body of a Brad Pitt, but, you know, that'll never happen either. I don't have that genetic makeup. So when this whole thing happened, he's been up to New York. He's followed, you know, he has me Googled. He knows everything that's going on. He was able to act and he always does, as my legal advisor on all major matters and a parental advisor. He's pretty good about separating the two.
Mm.
So it's been a very exciting time. And my mom, she likes to put everything in frames. I'm convinced if I stand still for 5 minutes, she put me in a frame. And she does decoupage. She decoupages all these frames. So she has all the stuff all over the house. She has her grandchildren and her son. My poor sister, there's no pictures of her in the house, but that's okay. She gave the grandchildren, so she gets equal time that way.
Now, I noticed, I'm just thinking about something you said a moment ago. You came out to your parents at 33. Was it coincidental that that was the year you were elected to the judgeship?
I came out, I was closer to 34.
Okay.
No, it wasn't coincidental. It was finally, I said to myself, I read a book, actually, and it was about this guy who was the founder of the conservative movement in the United States, Marvin Liebman, and he was 70 years old and he never found love. And a lot of people put so much effort into their careers that they forget that there's another part of life, and that's a personal private life where we're supposed to find happiness and contentment. And one without the other is not really making for a whole person. And I said to myself after reading this book, I don't want to be like this man. I don't want to have to turn 70 years old and face the truth of what I am, what I was born as. So I said, you know, now is the time.
Was there then, or has there been, especially now that you're on TV, was there any hesitation in living your personal and professional life so large?
No, because I've always been out. I've always been an open person. I've always been in the public eye, whether it's locally, now it's nationally. And I love it. I think I'm making a difference. That's why I enjoy it. And if I can spread some words of encouragement to not only gays and lesbians, but just people in general, if I can make people's lives better, that's what I'm all about. And that's what I enjoy doing, to improving the quality of people's lives. And if my sexual orientation is going to be a part in it, wonderful.
Now, I have to ask you this. It's not really a fair question because I don't know that I would ask it of a heterosexual, but does homosexuality affect who you are in court?
The only way it affects who I am is I dress better than the straight judges.
And that's in your eyes.
Oh, trust me. I have a degree in that, by the way. I have a JD degree and a shopping degree.
I see. Okay.
I have a master's, a PhD.
Oh, man. And now your partner of more than a decade is also a judge.
Yes, he is.
So I have to ask you, whose rulings are final at home?
Well, according to Scott, his philosophy for a successful relationship, he's now in family court. Two words, yes, dear. So, yes, dear, whatever you say, dear, whatever makes you happy. And then I do what I want to do, then I do what I want to do anyway.
I got it. And do the litigants, particularly now on television, do they view and treat you any differently? And has your sexual orientation ever been an issue in court, whether on TV or?
It never has been an issue on TV. Watch their thinking in the back of their heads. I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't normally express it. There was a blog that I read where somebody called me a flamer who I sided against. But, you know, that's their own internal homophobia that I really hope they can deal with one day. And they come to terms with, because they're not going to be totally happy unless they get rid of all the negativism that's permeating their soul. But as far as, I've only had one incident when I was a judge in Miami, where it was a hate crime, basically, but that was before we had hate crime legislation. And the public defender came up to me and said to me, Judge, you know, this beating occurred right outside of the gay bar Twist. Can you be fair? And I looked at him. It was sidebar, and I said, I forgot the lawyer's name. Let's call him Greg. I said, Greg, if I was an African-American and it was an African-American hate crime, would you ask me that question? If it was a rape case and I was a woman, would you ask me that question? We're both Jewish. If the hate crime was an anti-Semitic hate crime, would you ask me that question? I suspect the answer to all that would be no, so why are you asking me about this issue?
Mm.
And he was sweating profusely. I remember that, and his voice was cracking, and he apologized and went back to the table.
You're probably not surprised at the questions, though, because it's still something that a lot of people are getting used to. It's still something fairly new. I mean, the idea to have an outwardly gay judge. I mean, there was a time where we were getting used to women as judges or women as CEOs. Or it just seems to be a rite of passage for society.
Oh, sure. You know, the way it was done in a very professional manner, mm-hmm. and the client has a right to know. If I was a defense lawyer, I'd ask the judge the same question, but I would have done it the same way. But I would expect the judge to give the same answer.
Are you more comfortable being somewhat flamboyant in a television courtroom than in Miami-Dade?
Well, you know, in Miami-Dade, and in being from Florida, I'm sure you can appreciate this, we have a Judicial Qualifications Commission, which I served on for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and there's a certain amount of decorum that judges must operate under, certain judicial canons, which we cannot violate. And if you do, you could get, you know, removed from the bench. If you're disrespectful, if you have ex parte communications, if, you know, you lie, you cheat, do whatever. And in a TV setting, you don't have that. It's all these cases are binding arbitration. And I do what I can to make the point, but I try to make the point without yelling and screaming, because I don't think it really does a lot for the viewership. And I don't think that the viewers or the litigants themselves learn when you yell at them or you scream at them. So I sometimes break into show tunes. Now, did I do that on the bench in Miami? I don't. Maybe once or twice I might, but not on a regular basis.
You had someone sing, though, when you were on the bench in Miami. Is that right? You had someone...
I had an opera, yes.
Yeah.
Now, that is an interesting story. But, you know, and that really sums up my judicial personality, my judicial philosophy. Here was a woman that came into court who was charged with disrupting a condominium meeting. She was in her 80s. When she walked into court, I noticed that she had a tattoo on her forearm, and they were numbers, so I knew she was a concentration camp survivor. So I inquired about her. I said, "No, tell me about your experiences during World War II." And she said that her whole family was gathered up by the Nazis, and they were put in a concentration camp. And they all died. Her mother, her father, and all of her sisters and brothers all died. And the way she survived was by singing opera for the generals and the commanders of the Third Reich. And she's crying and she's telling me the story. And I figured, government has done enough harm in this woman's life to last a lifetime. I need to help restore this woman's confidence, not only in the United States, but in the judiciary of the United States. And I said, well, what happened here is not the worst thing in the world. Supposing you give me a sampling of your operatic talents, I'd love to hear you. She said, I'm too nervous, I can't sing. I said, ma'am, you sang for the worst of the worst, the hierarchy of the Third Reich. Of course you could sing something for me. She goes, well, maybe I can. I said, would you please sing for me? I really would appreciate it. And she sang, and it was beautiful. So I dismissed the case, and she left with a smile in her face and a belief that the system really does work, that people do care about her. So that's the whole story behind.
Interesting.
I had the woman singing opera.
Very interesting. And on the show, do the producers seek out cases that match in any way or challenge your lifestyle, or is it just incidental when it happens?
I think we've only had one or two, I think it was two, homosexual-related cases. One was a gay hip-hop group, and one was a lesbian couple. So, no, they haven't done that. They pick cases which will shine, and all the judge shows do, shine and bring out the judge's personality.
Right.
And judges that have personality.
Well, and we were talking a minute ago about show tunes. I mean, you also use humor quite a bit in your career.
Yes, I do. I use humor more than show tunes because sometimes I can't remember the words to the song. I'm going, la, 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 la. That doesn't cut it.
Do the producers ever have to rein you in on that in terms of, you know, we'll have to pay for that?
I know nothing about that. If they do, they do. They haven't told me not to sing.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I guess it's probably worth it to them for the response. What does make a good case for your show?
Active litigants. I think when you have individuals who are truly passionate, then it brings out the best in everybody. And I enjoy people with passion. I think people with passion are fascinating to be around. That's why I love Miami, because you have so many people here with passion that it's contagious. It really is.
I've always wondered when I've watched a show like this, if you have cases that you start taping and then you have to stop and they don't work out, if that ever happens.
No. That's not true. There was only one case that I started that I just couldn't finish because there was a language problem.
Oh.
You couldn't understand the person. Otherwise, you know, I'm pretty good at talking with anyone, and I haven't had a problem.
Now, your bailiff, is it Tawa Young?
Toya.
Toya, I'm sorry. Toya Young. She's out of Brooklyn. She's got a little bit of spunk there, too, doesn't she?
She's amazing. I spoke to her last night, as a matter of fact, and just she called to say hello. When we first met, there was instant chemistry. And she knows what I'm thinking. I know what she's thinking. She'll give me a look. I'll give her a look. And it's just part of the show. And she's my Costello, and I'm her Elvis.
The bailiff is...
I'm Jackie, and she's Norton. You know, it's just a great team.
The bailiff is an important part of these shows, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to have, you know, if it's going to be a really entertaining show as well as educational, you need to have some good chemistry.
Hmm.
And I'm Fred and she's Ginger. Although I could be Ginger and she could be Fred. I'm not that type.
Okay. How has your life changed since the show became syndicated this fall?
It hasn't changed that much. You know, in Miami, I'm very well known since I was born and raised here in Miami. And, you know, so it's not unusual for me to be recognized places because I know a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I was in Circuit City buying a fax machine yesterday, and somebody came up to me and said, "Hi, Judge Young, how are you?" He ended up, he used to be a defendant in my courtroom. And he said, "You're just the same in court as you were, as you are on TV." So, and I run into defendants of mine, and I remember I was at Best Buy buying something years ago, and I ran into one of my defendants there who thanked me for saving his life.
Mm.
You know, Mr. Media, if you treat people respectfully, if you show you really are concerned about them, you really have nothing to be afraid about when you see people out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't. And if you like people as much as I like people, and I like to learn from people, it's a wonderful thing, and you get to meet so many incredible people. I was in D.C. buying a suit, as a matter of fact, shopping is my Ph.D.,
mm-hmm.
at Filene's Bargain Basement, which I got a really good deal, by the way. I was very excited about that. And several of the people there knew who I was and wanted my autograph, which that's one that kind of just amazes me. And I learned all about their lives and why they watch a show and what they do when they're not working. And it's just fascinating. How it just really is fascinating, and I just love it.
Were you even familiar with this genre of television before you became part of it? I mean, did you watch any of these shows?
Oh, I watched them all. It's funny. I would watch them all. And one of my biggest beefs with most, if not all, of the judge shows is that they would not bring families together.
Hmm.
They would yell, they would scream, they would belittle. And there were several times, I remember watching one show where you had these two sisters who just wanted to be brought back together as a family. And the judge kept egging them on and just built this whole crescendo for conflict. And I said to myself, conflict is not what's needed here. Resolution is what's needed here. Family reconciliation is what's needed here.
Mm.
Not the division of the family. No, bring the family together. And it was so ripe. And I just turned the show off, and it was just really, it was just frustrating that the judge could have done a mitzvah, a good deed, and she didn't do it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting combination, gay and Jewish and a judge.
Can you imagine the guilt? Oh, my God.
Well, let's test that guilt for a minute before you go. I was kind of wondering if you might feel, might be willing to dish a little bit on some of your judicial counterparts in TV land, starting with Judge Judy.
You know, I would feel real uncomfortable about doing that against any of my judicial counterparts.
Oh.
I don't think that's appropriate.
The world will never know.
I will say that they all make a positive contribution, and I've watched every single one of them, and I'm not like any of them.
Mm. And what about the big daddy of them all? Did you ever watch Judge Wapner in those days?
I've got a Judge Wapner story.
Oh, even better.
To answer your question, yes, I watched Judge Wapner. I was taking a deposition when I was a state attorney. I was out in California, and I was with this other lawyer, and we had to take the deposition in the L.A. County State Attorney's Office. And I'm walking in the hallway, and I see a sign that said Joe Wapner, Jr. And there was this young prosecutor at his desk reading. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at the sign, and I said, "Excuse me, is your father the TV judge?" And he said, "Yes." He got kind of embarrassed. And I said, "Well, I'm David Young from Miami. I'm a prosecutor with Miami-Dade County, and I'm taking depos. It's nice to meet you." And we spoke for a few minutes. He was very nice about it. And then I just kept walking on my way.
Small world, isn't it?
Small world, isn't it? Lucky, isn't it? Yes.
Well, Judge Young, thank you. I got to stop laughing. Thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Mr. Media, it has been my absolute pleasure, and I want to thank you. And how are things in St. Petersburg? Are they okay?
Things here are good. This is, of course, the new media capital of the world. So, yeah, things are good here.
There's some magnificent resorts out there.
Yeah, there are.
St. Peter's is a beautiful part of the state.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And folks, if you'd like to keep up with Mr. Media's Friday interviews, you can subscribe to the site via email at www.mrmedia.com. You can also subscribe to the audio feed in the podcast section of iTunes. Thanks for joining us. Please come back again next week for another Fridays with Mr. Media. Good. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bert.